And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody. What's up? Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Tuesday, April 5th. We are about 48 hours away from the moment of this recording to opening day. Not just opening day being here, not just the calendar saying April 7th, but the first pitches of the Major League Baseball season being thrown, just about 48 hours away from the start of this discussion. You can hear the excitement in my voice. I know you feel it out there as well. Michael Beller, Al Melchior, taking you through a big prospect episode because some things maybe worked out in a way that baseball fans are going to like after we had to deal with the lockout, and maybe one of those things is the way that teams treat their top prospects at the very start of the season. Al Melchior, if that ends up being the case, it is a breath of very welcome fresh air.
It absolutely is, and it seems like things are panning out that way already. Like you say, about 48 hours away from opening day. A lot of players, a lot of prospects that are already confirmed as being on their team's opening day rosters. So that gives us a lot to talk about. I mean, this is going to be a weekly spot here on Tuesdays where we talk about prospects and what's going on in the minors, obviously. But, I mean, this is just such a great story and a great angle heading into opening day that we'll spend nearly the entire show running down these prospects that are going to be on opening day rosters, and still a few who are still battling for jobs here at the last minute, and we can toss them in as well. But Michael, before we get into all of that, let's talk about Monday's big trade. The Rays sending Austin Meadows to the Tigers in exchange for Isak Paredes and a competitive balance B pick. This is exciting for all kinds of reasons. And theoretically, we could have skipped this because Isak Paredes is no longer technically a prospect. That sort of surprised me because one of my first thoughts when I saw that trade last night was, oh, we'll talk about Paredes on the prospect show. And then I looked it up and saw, oh, yeah, that's right. He exhausted his rookie eligibility in 2021. But we'll talk about it anyway. So there's a couple of prospect angles here. So, of course, Meadows automatically becomes a key figure in the Tigers lineup. But on the Rays side, what are your expectations for Paredes?
I mean, you know what's fun about him going to Tampa specifically is the way that they are such a flexible team and such a flexible roster, and a team that is comfortable using guys in multiple roles and comfortable platooning guys. And so that makes things, I think, a lot of fun for him as far as this landing spot goes, and for just the rest of the roster. I mean, it maybe muddies a little bit of waters for some players, but you know, Austin Meadows was someone who obviously we had slotted into an everyday spot, and so that's not going to be the case for Paredes. So in certain ways, it opens up some playing time that maybe wasn't already there for some other guys. So you know, he's, from a fantasy perspective, he's not someone who I'm necessarily like jumping at as a result of this trade. I actually do have one auction left. I got that later tonight, and so I'm not necessarily like, oh man, now his name is circled, but he is someone whose name will be circled for me at the start of the season to watch and see how the Rays use.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a thing that we definitely will watch in the coming days. I mean, I understand that a lot of people listening probably have already wrapped up their drafts, but you know, looking in terms of future waivers and that sort of thing, Paredes hadn't really performed all that well in his stints with the Tigers. There's not a clear role for him in Tampa Bay, but like you said, sort of, this seems a little strange, but I think he actually does have more opportunity with the Rays than he had with the Tigers. The Tigers are going for it. That Rays roster looks like it's a little bit in flux, and there's always room for people who can play different roles. So I would expect that Paredes will get more playing time this year than he would have otherwise, though not necessarily enough to make an impact in mixed leagues. Mm-hmm. But of course, the big impact here, and this truly is a prospect angle, is that very shortly after the Rays completed that trade, that there were reports that the Rays were then going to call up Josh Lowe. And that's an exciting one there, because there's obviously steals potential there, maybe a little bit of power potential, and certainly a whole lot of playing time potential for Josh Lowe.
Yeah, now this is one that we should all be excited about. A guy who just had an excellent AAA season in 2021. Hit 22 homers, walked 13% of the time, 291, 381, 535. And this is someone who we should, I think, be very, very excited about in the fantasy baseball world right off the bat in 2022. Because, you know, again, we did, you know, we talk about the Rays being this flexible roster organization, team that is very comfortable using many players, using guys in multiple roles, figuring things out, piecing things together, and not necessarily having a set, you know, 1 through 3, let alone 1 through 9 in their lineup. But we saw it with Wander Franco last season. Wander Franco is maybe a little bit of a different case, but I just don't think that they bring him up, boom, right off the bat to start the season if they're not going to play him mostly every day. And it's you know, forget about the service time manipulation that hopefully is going out the window a little bit. It's just when you've got a guy like this who's clearly going to be a big part of your future, you want him to play every day. And if that means he's got to stay in AAA for a little bit, then so be it. If they're calling him up, I think they want to play him a lot, Al, and that should get us really excited.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot of doubt about that. If I can maybe pour a little cold water on this development, first of all, he could be part of a platoon, which again, he would be the larger side of a platoon, but Rays being the Rays, that would not be surprising. Lowe's splits against lefties in AAA last year were they were just merely okay, not great. Mm-hmm. So maybe an argument there for him to be in a platoon role. The other thing is he did strike out a fair amount at Durham, 26.2% strikeout rate, which you figure in his first full season the majors could be substantially higher. Projections have Lowe in the range between 222 and 245 for batting average. So that the optimistic side there is 245. Even if you lean towards that side, maybe a little bit of a ceiling on Lowe's value for this year, but you know, power speed, that's hard to come by. So I am, as you are, Michael, like you said, very, very excited.
Al, let me ask you, let me ask you this one. So like I said, I've got this auction tonight. I mean, where do you if this Austin Meadows trade happened a week ago, where do you think, you know, Josh Lowe ends up being slotted in just, you know, fantasy baseball universe top to bottom?
Okay, well, I mean, if we're talking about just formats, I think he's a good late round target in 12 teamers.
Yeah,
just because of that home run stolen base combination upside, and if he gets off to a slow start or isn't playing as regularly as we'd like to see, you know, those are spots that you churn. I know mm-hmm. that I say this over and over again in regard to drafts, but it's true. So in terms of auction. Yeah. So like for a 12 teamer, I think, it, you know, you're looking at a minimal bid there, but you know, 14, 15 team.
Yeah.
I think low single digits.
I mean, I think the takeaway is that regardless of format, he's on a team somewhere to start the season.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, 10 teams seems a little extreme, mm-hmm. but otherwise, yeah, I'm on board.
And that's exciting.
And it is exciting. It's definitely it's a development here, you know, closing on an opening day that I think a lot of us didn't see coming. And it's pretty cool. Yeah. It's pretty cool. And just real quick, I know we got a lot of players to get to, but Vidal Brujan, does your interest in him increase now that you have one less player in the depth chart there?
It has to, right? I mean, doesn't it sort of has to increase? Like if we're talking about the literal definition of the word, but like we just, I don't know, we didn't. Not only did we not see, you know, we didn't see a ton from him in the major, like literally we did not see a lot of him in the majors last year. You obviously like the stolen base potential, but that's dependent on playing time and getting on base. And even though you have to think there's more playing time in line for him, how much remains to be seen and how well can he get on base? I mean, we're talking about a guy who had a, you know, 345 OBP in AAA last year, 336 in AA the year before. Age level is fine, but that concerns me a little bit. So not, I mean, obviously there's a clearer path to playing time. I'm not, you know, climbing over bodies to get to him.
All right. Well, let's get to some of the big name prospects who have already cemented a spot on their team's opening day roster. Four hitters who really stand out here. And again, you talk about excitement. I mean, there's a lot of excitement generated by these four players. Julio Rodriguez. This is one I will admit, and maybe this is just my bad, but I did not see this coming. Certainly 2 weeks ago, maybe a week ago, I was starting to see this a little bit more clearly, but Julio Rodriguez will be on the Mariners opening day roster. He will start, of course. Bobby Witt Jr., that one a little bit less of a surprise. Spencer Torkelson, he'll be playing pretty much every day for the Tigers. Jeremy Pena, and I feel like this one's not gotten quite as much attention and maybe not enough attention, but Jeremy Pena will be on the Astros opening day roster. He will be their regular shortstop. So is there anybody here you're worried about out of this four?
Not relative to draft cost, no. I think we should be excited about all of these guys. And I mean, Julio Rodriguez and Bobby Witt Jr. speak for themselves about how excited we should be for both of them. I would say Jeremy Pena is the least exciting from a fantasy perspective. But we're still talking about a guy who, you know, in the right circumstances could be like a double digit homer and steal player right off the bat this season. And it's not like anyone is really forcing you to go too crazy to get him on your team. So there's really no one I'm worried about here from that, you know, draft cost, or if you've obviously most people have already drafted, acquisition cost. I don't think that there's anyone that should really scare you in that sort of way at all. I think there's just a lot of reason to be excited about these guys, especially with some of the transitions we've seen young superstars make from the minors to the majors in recent years.
Yeah. And your point is well taken too, in terms of risk and draft position, not so much with Bobby Witt Jr. And we've actually talked quite a bit on this show about, I know I've talked about this with DVR, Michael, we've talked about it too, but just some questions about how early Bobby Witt Jr. was going. Obviously, just a very exciting profile there, but questions about how that's going to translate in his first season in the major leagues. But as far as Torkelson and Rodriguez go, you didn't really have to give up much to get either of them. So if they happen to be busts, then, you know, then so be it. You stash them if you can, or maybe in shallower leagues, you let them go. But Torkelson, I have some concerns about, just because I think that at least initially he's going to be, certainly, I think I feel very confident about the power from Torkelson,
sure.
But being somebody who hits a lot of fly balls, has a decent strikeout rate, but again, you figure that might get elevated as a rookie and maybe has an upside of like a 235, 240 batting average is a rookie. So
if I could ask one thing of AJ Hinch, it would be to not hit him in the bottom third of the order, because you're already this year, like you're behind the eight ball to a certain extent when you're a rookie in the majors and the book gets out on you, you know, relatively quickly. It's like, you're not doing him any favors if you are sandwiching him between Jonathan Scope and Tucker Barnhart in the lineup. I want to see him, I'm not saying hit him lead off or anything like that, but like give him a spot like near in like the Baez, Meadows, Cabrera spot of the lineup. Even if it means like pushing Candelario down a spot, I don't know, like, I just don't hit him in the bottom third of the order. It's a very tough ask for a top prospect. You want him seeing hittable pitches. You don't want him getting pitched around. Like, I want to see him somewhere 1-6, and I don't care where.
Well, unfortunately, the acquisition of Austin Meadows
makes it a little trickier.
A tougher ask. I'm with you there, and maybe especially if he exceeds my expectations in terms of batting average and getting on base, maybe that's something that improves as the season goes on.
Could you move Badeau down? Could you like bump Grossman up to one and move Badeau down to like the seventh spot? Like, I don't know. Maybe that's they're not going to do that to start the season, but that's my hope for later in the season.
Yeah, perhaps. Not the hopes of people there who have already rostered Akil Badeau, but a possibility I could see, you know, theoretically. And Badeau's going to be an interesting player this year, too. Came out of nowhere last year as a Rule 5 player, and we'll see if he can match or exceed what he did last year. And that maybe has something to say for the value that Spencer Torkelson has as well. And Jeremy Pena, just to kind of round up the thought that we started a little while ago, that Pena was going extremely late in drafts, even some deeper ones. So could be certainly a major fab target this coming weekend in leagues. He's out there. If you did happen to roster him, again, very little risk that you likely had to take on in order to put Pena on your roster. So could have a nice steals power combo there with some some run production possibilities as well. So let's move on to some of the bigger name pitchers who have already secured a roster spot. And I think we can say pretty much in all these cases, a rotation spot. I'm hesitating on one. And that is Nick Lodolo, because we've already got Hunter Green in the Reds rotation. We've got Raver San Martin. Lodolo is making the team, I would assume, as a member of the rotation. I've not seen that confirmed, but you've got potentially three prospects, two very, very highly ranked prospects at Green and Lodolo there in Cincinnati. So how do you see the staying power of these three prospects over time? Because eventually that rotation is going to get a little bit more crowded.
It is going to get a little bit more crowded, right? I think that, you know, Hunter Green's in there, right? I mean, Hunter Green is in there, no question about it. I think that'll be the case for Lodolo, too. I think, like, it just feels as though you'd really have to struggle. And, like, you know, Luis Castillo, he'll be back. Mike Minor, what are you going to do with Mike Minor? The Reds are obviously going to want Mike Minor to do something and then flip him at the deadline. I mean, so, like, those guys are going to find their way into the rotation, of course. And then there's other, I mean, you know, we can, you know, dig deep on this Reds team. But, like, again, like, the Reds have clearly announced to us what they plan to be this season. And so if you're already going to be this team, and you are going to have these guys on your roster right from the jump, unless you are crushing their confidence with just bad outing after bad outing after bad outing, there is no sense in not having them be in your starting rotation. Even if you cap them at like 120 innings or something, I'm throwing out a random low number, but like, there is no reason that you don't have these guys in your rotation this season if they're on the major league roster. It's just, it would be silly. It would be self-defeating for when you hope to eventually be a competitive team a couple of years down the line to not get Hunter Green his innings, not get Nick Lodolo his innings. And so I think that so long as those guys, once they're in the rotation, we know Green is already in there, I think it's no looking back from the Reds unless they are just getting tattooed start after start.
Yeah, and Lodolo just a little over 50 innings last year, Green a little over 100, so something to keep in mind there. But I think particularly in the case of Green, that, yeah, my anticipation is that he'll be there all season long. Maybe there'll be some moves to stretch out between his starts a little bit longer, but you're going to want to have him rostered. You're going to want to have him available to make starts for you on your fantasy team.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Three other pitchers I would put in this category in terms of highly ranked, highly anticipated prospects who are going to be in a rotation. One is Joe Ryan, which I know might seem a little suspect, first of all, because depending on which rankings you're looked at, he's not necessarily ranked that high among prospects. But, you know, if we looked at this, you know, a year ago, roughly, I think this would be a pretty exciting development that you'd have Joe Ryan in a rotation, but it's less exciting because we've seen him in a rotation already. We've seen him pitch, so he'll be there as the Twins opening day starter. And then you've got Matt Brash and Reed Detmers. Detmers pitching briefly for the Angels last year. Results were not great, but still just a terrific track record in the minors. And, you know, Brash, great numbers as well. So, out of these three, Brash, Detmers, Ryan, who are you most excited about?
I mean, I got to be honest. Well, let me ask you a question. Let me answer your question with a question, but then I'll say something. how much has DVR talked about Reed Detmers on this show?
Quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Yeah. I'm giving full credit to DVR here, who's dealing with some internet issues right now. He's got me totally in on Reed Detmers. I've got a Reed Detmers AL Rookie of the Year bet that I feel like I'll have to send 10% of it to DVR if it ends up hitting, because he, you know, didn't like put Reed Detmers on my radar as like a pitcher, as a baseball player, but certainly he opened my eyes to some of the reason why we should be believing in a Reed Detmers ceiling this season. As you said, Al, a solid if short track record in the minors before getting his spot on the Angels this season and, you know, last season, but, you know, locked in, feel like he's arrived this season. And with just that pitch mix, the youth, the track record, everything that he's got already behind him, the pedigree, like, I think there's a lot of reason to be really, really, really excited about him this season. And so, I mean, just that pitch mix is filthy. It's just something you just don't expect to see it from a guy who is, you know, in his age 22 season. And I think we should be really, really excited about Reed Detmers. And frankly, Al, again, I'm ready to be the Charlie Brown to the Angels Lucy this year. But I think that this is maybe finally the year this team breaks through. And I think Detmers is going to have a big role to play in that.
Yeah, he really could. And that rotation could actually be very good. So you've got, of course, you've got Noah Syndergaard there. Somebody that I like as a sleeper this year is Jose Suarez. I mean, just very solid numbers across the board last year. Still just 24. Could take a step forward if you have Detmers putting it all together. Yeah, it's an exciting team. A lot of possibilities there. And I want to go back to Ryan, too, because he's kind of the flip side of what you were describing with Detmers. I mean, not overwhelming stuff, but he gets it done. So are you more of the opinion that he's shown it in the minors, he showed it briefly in the majors last year, you can trust what you've seen, or do you think there's a comeuppance and a regression coming for Joe Ryan this year?
I mean, there of course is a risk of that, Al. We know that for sure. But I don't know. Like, you go back over his minor league stats and the brief run he had with the Twins last season, I think if your expectations for Joe Ryan is like a 4 ERA, a 1.25 whip, and like a strikeout per inning, I think you are going to be very happy with what you get out of him.
Yeah. And he got that 4 ERA, 4.05 be exact, in 5 starts for the Twins down the stretch last year. Want to remind everybody that he stranded less than 3 out of every 5 runners, which is a very low rate. So, I don't know, just very intriguing to me that the peripherals he puts up may... Yeah, those hold up. You're going to have a very good pitcher, and I think one who's going to return a lot of value vis-a-vis what you had to give up in your drafts and auctions for him. So, all right, let's move on to some other prospects who are already on opening day rosters, have already secured a spot, but aren't getting nearly the same attention, not coming in with quite the same level of prospect hype. One player that I've heard very little said about, but I think he's really intriguing, is Diego Castillo, who is looks like he's going to be the Pirates' starting second baseman. And obviously a lot of opportunity there to maybe get a long look there, not necessarily be looking over his shoulder from opening day on. And I don't know, very intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. Any interest there? And if so, what types of leagues?
Yeah, I mean, pretty deep leagues, right? And NL only, obviously, he's on your radar. I think that's, you know, the only spot where I think he's guaranteed to be on your radar. This is a playing time play, right, Al? I mean, I think there's reason for optimism surrounding him, but this all has to be a bet on playing time and youth. That's really what we're looking at with Diego Castillo. And I, again, like, as we've said with a few of these guys previously, it would be silly of the Pirates to not let him fail at the major league level if he's going to fail, because why not see what you've got, and why not get him some low pressure ABs and maybe even a full low pressure season as far as a rookie season could be under his belt. So the playing time, I gotta believe, is going to be there. I still think that unless you're in, you know, deep formats or NL only leagues, that you probably want to see it first before you commit to him as a regular player on your roster.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit more intrigued. I'm not talking about 12-team leagues here by any means, but there is some interesting skills there with Castillo. Really, really good contact rate. And in a way, sort of the profile to me reminds me a little bit of Kevin Newman with probably a lot more power. So there's some mild steals potential here. He's not been a particularly efficient base stealer in the minors, so that's not anything I'm necessarily banking on, but maybe just gives you a handful of steals that helps out. And in 2021, so he was traded from the Yankees to the Pirates. So he played about half the year in the Yankee system at AA there, a .277 average with 11 home runs and 8 steals. And then in, let's see, 46 games between AA and AAA with the Pirates, 8 home runs, not only 1 stolen base there, but, you know, solid numbers. And the fact that one thing I can't really say about Castillo that I've said about a couple of other players already is he's got these really, really very svelte strikeout rates every step along the way of the minors. So you built in some, you know, regression there, and you're still looking at somebody who, you know, maybe is only striking out between 15 and 20% of the time this year. So I don't know. I feel very underrated. Definitely somebody I'm looking for in 15 teamers right now.
Well, I mean, I think you make a compelling argument for him. And again, the playing time really should be there. It would be silly if it weren't.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the Guardians here and a couple of prospects. And yeah, not the biggest name prospects, but could be some prominent roles. Stephen Kwan going to be in that outfield mix, maybe a regular or a platoon role for Kwan. And Brian Lavastida has secured the backup role there behind Austin Hedges. And I know Hedges is a really, really good defensive catcher, but it seems to me that maybe there's an opportunity there for Lavastida to get like a 50-50 split. And this is a catcher, by the way, who has stolen some bases. So I actually need a replacement catcher in my AL only. I went for Jose Trevino, but I'm thinking maybe I made a mistake and need to go back and make a bid on Lavastida instead, just because, you know, maybe I get a few steals from him and certainly more power than I would expect from Trevino, even in less playing time.
Yeah, you know, it's the AL Central is going to be interesting this year as it relates to this, because the White Sox clearly such a massive favorite, as they should be in this division. And then you can make arguments, I think, for really any of the teams. And I would say definitely at least the Twins, Tigers, and Guardians as the next up in that division. I would tend to lean toward Twins in that order, Twins, Tigers, Guardians. But so much could happen early in the season that determines some of the playing time for some of these young guys, especially for a guy who's slotted in as a backup catcher. So I think that's something you're going to want to watch with this team. What's interesting about Kwan L is, you know, the fact that he just doesn't strike out. This guy, he's got a ton of on-base skills, and I think that's going to play well in, you know, for Cleveland, you know, for a lineup. Like, we know that, you know, like he's not going to be taking significant playing time away from, I don't know, Miles Straw or Amed Rosario or Andrés Giménez, but like, there's not a ton of on-base skill in the guys who he would be necessarily competing for playing time with, right? And I'm not saying Stephen Kwan's going to play shortstop, but you can move him into the outfield. You can bump him at Rosario back to short. Like, there's a lot of ways that Cleveland can mix and match. And so if he proves that the on-base skills and the bat-to-ball skills he's shown us in the minors are ready to translate to the majors, I think that's the way he gets himself into this Cleveland lineup with enough regularity that he becomes interesting from a fantasy perspective.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, well, I want to segue a little bit from LaVastida, talking about a catcher here, a couple of other catchers, one of whom is Joey Bart. And again, this is sort of like the Joe Ryan situation.
How's this guy is still a prospect? It's crazy.
Exactly. But he's not exhausted his rookie eligibility. So I'm going to push the limit
here. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And include him in the conversation. And William Contreras, who has made the Braves roster, but almost certainly not. I mean, there's no way it's an everyday role, but maybe playing a little bit in the infield as well as some catching, some DH. So kind of intriguing there. I think Bart is obviously somebody you're looking at with more playing time, and you're looking at him in a broader swath of leagues. But what's your level of interest with Bart and Contreras?
So, you know, we laugh about Joey Bart still having rookie eligibility, but this does this does sort of have a now or never feeling to it, right? I mean, he's blocked by Buster Posey for all these years, and they've got him up, they've had him down. Like, he's been in our consciousness for such a long time because I think maybe Buster Posey not only hung around a little bit longer than expected, but hung around with a significant share of his playing time coming behind the plate a little longer than expected, and seemed to push off Joey Bart a little bit. So it still feels like this is a now or never season for him, just because he's been around for a while. He's now in his age 25 season, even though he's only accumulated 120 plate appearances at the major league level, something along those lines. And like, no one should be drawing anything from 120 plate appearances, but they haven't been pretty, Al. I mean, he has struck out a ton. He hasn't really walked much. The power just hasn't been there. No homers, right? He's still looking for his first career major league home run, I believe. So like, there's something here where like it feels like it's got to happen for Joey Bart, even though, for being honest about it, he hasn't really had a fair crack at anything just yet in his major league career. So playing time, I feel good about. Performance wise, not so much for him. Contreras will be interesting just because of the different ways that the Braves might try to get him involved. But I still think we're looking at a guy whose impact is far more significant to the Atlanta Braves rather than to us in the fantasy world.
Yeah, I do feel like at least this season that's very likely to be the case. Still a prospect worth watching. If he starts off well, maybe that earns him a more broad role. So certainly somebody worth picking up in NL only and in deeper mixed leagues. Just put him on the watch list. See mm-hmm. how his role develops as the season goes on. Seth Beer in a stripped down Diamondbacks lineup, he could stand to hit a lot. I think you would expect to see him in the lineup a lot against righties. Power source, obviously, there. So where's your level of interest with Seth Beer?
This Arizona team, they're not going to be a total nothing in the fantasy world. Like, there's going to be opportunity for him there. And we know that he can, if he gets 400 plate appearances, he could hit 15 homers. If he gets 500 plate appearances, he could hit 20 homers. So the power is going to be there. I think that's where you're going to have to be interested in him, though. You're going to have to be, someone who is in a position who is really looking for like part-time power. And I think there's a role for that in a lot of fantasy leagues. And as long as that's what you are gunning for, I think you're fine. I don't think you're going to want to be counting him for anything more than that part-time power, though.
Yeah. By the way, Beer, maybe it's just the last name and making me think of beer leagues and, somebody who hits for power at all cost. Yeah. 17.5% strikeout rate last year in AAA. So
yeah,
not necessarily... yeah, that'll definitely play. Let's look at a couple of pitchers who have secured spots on a roster, but it's not clear exactly what the role is going to be. In Atlanta, Tucker Davidson and Spencer Strider. Not clear if maybe they'll both be in the rotation, one in the bullpen, one in the rotation, but you know, pretty intriguing over the longer haul for sure.
Definitely. Who are you knocking out of the rotation though? If one of them is going to be like an every fifth day guy, who are you knocking out of there? It's Waskar Yanoa, Kyle Wright. It's obviously one of them. And I don't know, Al. I don't see enough there to think that either one of those guys are going to be consistent contributing starting pitchers this year.
I think maybe if things don't go well for Kyle Wright, that is one person that it occurs to me maybe winds up going back to the minors. There's always possible injury scenario there. Mm-hmm. So, Strider's just real interesting to me. And, Tucker Davidson did pretty nicely in limited time in 2021. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch. And Strider in particular is available in a lot of leagues. So deep leagues, maybe just a good pitcher to stash right now. Now, here's kind of a different scenario, Michael, because in Oakland, you've got Dalton Jeffries, who, again, very stripped down roster right now. So he stands to have a pretty prominent role in that Athletics rotation, but the upside is not what it is for Davidson or Strider. So how do you handle somebody like Jeffries?
It's any guy like this really is totally dependent on, what the rest of your roster looks like. If 130 innings of 4.2 ERA and like 7.5-8 Ks per nine is going to get the job done for you in your league, then sure, Jeffries can be a guy, but I think you're kidding yourself if you're expecting more than that. If we're talking weekly leagues, he's not going to be someone who you're just auto starting every single week. Even some two start weeks maybe won't necessarily play for you. It's the ceiling is so low, as you said, with him, that this has really got to be a volume play if you're going to be interested in Dalton Jeffries. And I don't know, man, like 26 years old, almost 27 years old, the limited amount of playing time he has had in the majors, like there just aren't a ton of stories that start that way that suddenly flip and become, significantly better than what they already are. And so I think you have to be realistic about what you're looking for with him.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll have a little bit more interest in a couple of pitchers who have not yet won rotation spots, but maybe by the time you're hearing this, it'll be a different story. I'm talking about Mackenzie Gore in San Diego, Yoan Nadone in Washington, both competing for the fifth starter spot on those respective rotations.
We're never going to quit Mackenzie Gore, are we? Like Mackenzie Gore is going to quit us before we quit him. That's just how this is going to have to work here, because we know, I mean, it's totally different, right? I mean, we're talking, this is a guy who's 23 years old, who has flashed some major upside, who obviously has the pedigree of being a top three overall pick in the year that the Padres secured him. Like there's a lot to like here. There is a lot to like here. And I just, San Diego is going to be such an interesting team this season. Obviously, we all remember what happened to them last year and the seemingly living up to the super sky high expectations that were set for them in the off season, and then just crashing, absolutely crashing in the second half of the season to the extent that they finished under 500. You look at, you expect a bounce back from Blake Snell. You expect a bounce back from Yu Darvish. They just make the move for Sean Manaea. Joe Musgrove had a breakout year last year. Like, this is just like a fascinating team to me for so many reasons. And this is even without talking about Fernando Tatis missing the first few months of the season. Like, Mackenzie Gore, if you write off, and they're not doing that, but if you write off worrying about the Dodgers and you say, all right, six playoff spots, we just got to get one of those wild card spots, we don't need to worry about this juggernaut Dodgers team, like Mackenzie Gore becomes super interesting as the season goes on, because they don't need to lean on him early in the season. When you talk about Darvish and Musgrove and Snell and Anaya, they don't need to lean on him early in the season, which we don't necessarily love in the fantasy world, but this is someone who they can bring on and be this big, second half or June on weapon for them. Fascinated by how they treat Mackenzie Gore this year, how they deploy him, what they do with the options that they're going to have with him. But ultimately, I do think we see him as a consistent starter for this team. And so he's like, I'm way more excited in a guy like that who maybe I have to wait for than someone like Dalton Jeffries, who, yeah, I get right away, but, you know, what are we really talking about with a guy like that?
Yeah. Can't argue that. Cannot argue that, Michael. A lot to be excited about with Gore, and maybe we see him making those contributions you're talking about very, very early, it's maybe possible. Even yeah. right away. That would be awesome. Adone, that's a fuzzier question with him. He did make his major league debut on the final day of the season against the Red Sox in 2021. Made a very, very nice start against them. Very, very limited experience above High A, though, for Adone. So that's, I think you're looking at an NL-only play there. Let's stay in the NL East with our final player to discuss. That's Bryson Stott. As of this recording, he is still in the mix to be the starting third baseman for the Phillies. Is he worth trying to get onto your roster before we start playing games here?
So this is something that, you know, that I'm sure I've talked about with you, Al, in the past, and it's something we talk about in the fantasy football world so often. It's just like being involved with a good team, being invested in a team that you expect to score a lot is never a bad play. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But at the start of the season, it's a good thing to do. And like this Phillies team, man, they are going to hit a ton. They're going to score a ton of runs. There's always going to be, no matter where you are in this lineup, you are going to have run scoring or run driving in upside. And so that's that to me right there, boom, that and that alone is interesting. And so anyone who's going to be playing consistently for this team and getting at-bats for this team can be an intriguing counting stat sort of player. So for that reason, finding a way to invest in Philly and finding a very cheap way to invest in Philly puts Bryson Stott on my radar for these first couple of weeks. We'll see what happens with that third base gig. But I think that if you can't get Kyle Schwarber or Bryce Harper or Nick Castellanos, you want to look for a way to get into this Philly lineup, this could be a way to do it.
All right. Well, these last few players we discussed gives us reason, not that we necessarily don't have one already, but pay attention to the last couple of days here of spring training. And we got the, by the time we do the next edition of the show, we'll be playing. We won't be playing, Michael, but they will be playing some real baseball
they
games
will be.
That count.
They will be for sure. They will be for sure. I might be swinging a wiffle ball bat, but they'll be playing the real thing.
That's a wrap for now. I mean, it's a lot of prospects to talk about on opening day, a lot to watch. So it's going to be fun.
It is absolutely going to be a ton of fun, Al. I'm very excited for it. And like I said, man, like when we started this show, 48 hours till real pitches, real major league games are happening. So we're super pumped. We know you are as well. And that's going to do it for this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. For Al Melchior, I'm Michael Beller. Thanks so much for listening. Get ready. Opening day right around the corner. We'll talk to you soon.